So let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. So for those of you who can, would you stand? This is the day that the Lord has made. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. So would the congregation please here be seated? And people at home can sing, but people here, you're not allowed to. But what you can do is listen. So the song is Come On and Celebrate. Yes. So let me say, we know currently that we don't have the sound set up for the Zoom and in-building service. This week is exceptional. We are here to worship God. That's what this is about. And if at any point the sound goes off, the people glitch, get your Bible out, start praying and read the scriptures. Yes? So for now, let us pray. All-powerful one, we come today to worship you. We are safe in the knowledge that you are in control and we are not. Almighty God, we adore you. We thank you that we can come to you knowing that you care about each and every one of us. Our needs, however big, however small, that you are God who has created the heavens and the earth. You have put stars into space and filled the mighty seas. Your power and greatness is all around us, from mountaintops to the intricacies of a tiny flower. Thank you that your power is limitless. We are small in comparison, but the value and worth that we have is through your love for us. Powerful God, forgive us when we have not used our power to influence for good, but for our own purposes. Forgive us when our actions have hurt and excluded others, when we have allowed greed and fear and pride to get in the way. Lord, let our thoughts and words and actions glorify you and reveal your presence and your purposes. And the Lord says, the Almighty and powerful God forgives our sins. God forgives us and heals us and gives us grace and mercy. And we pray in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Creator, and the Son. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You come here. Swap. You're going to be there.
Good morning, everybody at home. Are they waving? I can't see them.
They're waving.
They are waving. Good. Good morning, everybody at church. I want us to think today about things that happened on this day in history. And I wonder if any of you know anything that happened on this day in history. And I am going to allow you to use your iPads and mobile phones.
Cheat, you mean cheat.
Cheat, yeah. I've been having fun this week looking up all sorts of facts, and I've got quite a few here. And there's one in particular I want to share with you, but I want to hear suggestions from you if there's any that you want to look at. So where were we? The 12th of no, 11th of 11th. July, sorry. The 11th of July on this day in history. So if there's any suggestions, let me know. So Bethany.
Somebody was born.
Somebody was born. I think a lot of people were born on this day in history. Anyone else? Put it in the chat function or you can put your hand up here at church. People are looking.
Bit dry, it's a bit of a dry day.
Go on then.
So Alexander Hamilton was fatally wounded by Vice President Burr. Yes, him who supposedly worked for Black freedom, he was fatally wounded.
Alexander Hamilton was fatally wounded by
Aaron Burr.
Lord Burr.
Vice President Aaron Burr.
Vice President Aaron Burr. Okay. Anything else?
Natasha Reed's wedding anniversary.
Natasha Reed's wedding anniversary is coming up on chat. Congratulations, Natasha and John. So yes, Stuart, you can look at the chat for me.
In 1859, big today, Big Ben chimed for time.
That's a beautiful thing.
Big Ben chimed for the first time today on this day in history. Here's some of mine. In 1690, William III beats the deposed James II at the Battle of Drogheda Boyne. 1776, Captain James Cook begins his third voyage. 1848, London Waterloo Station opens.
Ah, okay.
I'm not sure that's something to celebrate, but, you know. 1900, now this is a really, I think this is a really important one. I didn't know about this, and I think everyone should know about this. Charlotte Cooper beats Helene Prevost to become the first female Olympic tennis champion. So given the weekend that we're in, that's quite apt. Go Berrettini, sorry, just. And she's also the first individual female Olympic champion in any sport.
Wow.
So Charlotte Cooper. 1960, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee was first published. In 1977, we're getting to a good decade now, the US Medal of Freedom Award was posthumously given to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. 1988, this is not a good thing, Mike Tyson, the boxer, hires Donald Trump as an advisor.
It's unbelievable.
Whatever
happened to him?
Yeah. 2007, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, the fifth film based on the books by J.K. Rowling, is released. 2007, on this day in history. But the one I'm really interested in that I want to tell you about today is that in 1533, Pope Clement the Seventh excommunicated Henry VIII, mostly because of Anne Boleyn. And of course, we know that Henry VIII ignored him and carried on regardless. And the rest, as they say, is history. And it's gotten me thinking about who or what influences us. Do people have power over us, or do we have power over them? And what are we prepared to stand up for? And is what we're prepared to stand up for a good thing, a bad thing? Our story is very much about power and influence. And another king, Herod, being really influenced and having a really tragic effect. So that's what the story about is today. But go home and research what happened on this day in history and see what else you can come up with, because there were hundreds more.
Sue and Bethany can. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're here. Sue, you're here. Can you get me the Bible?
So we have two readings, and what we're going to do is there are two readings which will be done from here, and then the sermon as recorded, and there will be times in between for a bit of reflection, thinking. You could talk to somebody, you could just sit, shut your eyes and pray. That's fine. So the first reading is Amos chapter 7, where Amos warns the people of Israel that God is going to judge them. And then, which Sue Shaw will read, and then the next passage, which Bethany Brearley will read, is the story of the execution of John the Baptist. If you think about what we've been going through these last few weeks and months in Mark, where we get this breathless recounting, and then suddenly we get this strange story that is the only place where you get a story that's not about Jesus. And the other thing to say about this story is the role of Herodias's daughter is usually seen as being some exploitative woman, but maybe she was actually a child who was being exploited herself. Thank you, Sue. Come.
Morning. The reading is from the Old Testament book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 7 to 15. A vision of a plumb line. I had another vision from the Lord. In it, I saw him standing beside a wall that had been built with the help of a plumb line. And there was a plumb line in his hand. He asked me, Amos, what do you see? A plumb line, I answered. Then he said, I'm using it to show that my people are like a wall that is out of line. I will not change my mind again about punishing them. The places where Isaac's descendants worship will be destroyed. The holy places of Israel will be left in ruins. I will bring the dynasty of King Jeroboam to an end. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, then sent a report to King Jeroboam of Israel. Amos is plotting against you among the people. His speeches will destroy the country. This is what he says. Jeroboam will die in battle, and the people of Israel will be taken away from their land into exile. Amaziah then said to Amos, that's enough, prophet. Go on back to Judah and do your preaching there. Let them pay you for it. Don't prophesy here at Bethel anymore. This is the king's place of worship, the national temple. Amos answered, I am not the kind of prophet who prophesies for pay. I am a herdsman and I take care of fig trees. But the Lord took me from my work as a shepherd and ordered me to come and prophesy to his people Israel. So now, listen to what the Lord says. You tell me to stop prophesying, to stop raving against the people of Israel. And so, Amaziah, the Lord says to you, your wife will become a prostitute on the streets and your children will be killed in war. Your land will be divided up and given to others, and you yourself will die in a heathen country. And the people of Israel will certainly be taken away from their own land into exile.
Thank you. Now, King Herod
March 6, 1429, the beheading of John the Baptist. Now, King Herod heard about all this because Jesus' reputation had spread everywhere. Some people were saying, John the Baptist has come back to life. This is why he has the power to perform miracles. Others, however, said, he is Elijah, one of the prophets. Others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. When Herod heard it, he said, he is John the Baptist. I had his head cut off, but he has come back to life. Herod himself had ordered John's arrest, and he had him chained and put in prison. Herod did this because of Herodias, whom he had married, even though she was the wife of his brother Philip. John the Baptist kept telling Herod, it isn't right for you to be married to your brother's wife. So Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not because of Herod. Herod was afraid of John because he knew that John was a good and holy man, and so he kept him safe. He liked to listen to him, even though he became greatly disturbed every time he heard him. Finally, Herodias got her chance. It was on Herod's birthday when he gave a feast for the chief government officials, the military commanders, and the leading citizens of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and his guests. So the king said to the girl, what would you like to have? I would give you anything you want. With many vows, he said to her, I swear that I will give you anything you ask for, even as much as half my kingdom. So the girl went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, Herodias answered. The girl hurried back at once to the king and demanded, I want you to give me the hair here and now, the head of John the Baptist. This made the king very sad, but he could not refuse her because of the vows he had made in front of all his guests. So he sent off a guard at once with orders to bring John's head. The guard left, went to the prison and cut John's head. When he brought it on a dish and gave it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body and buried it. This be the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hello, my name is Leslie Charlton and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. The texts that I'm speaking from this day are Amos 7 verses 7 to 15 and then Mark 6 verses 14 to 29. Because this talk is going out on the 11th of July, which is not our usual 10 o'clock nor our usual 11:30 service, a combination. What I'm going to do is look at the text, then pause, and you can do what you like with the question that I offer. I'll leave it with you. You can chew it over with those that are in your space, or you can write your answer, or just use it to reflect going forward. The strange thing about this story is that it's the only story in the Gospel according to Mark that doesn't have Jesus at the centre of it. Lots of other stories that were going on around the time, lots of other people that were involved, but this is the story that is recorded. And the story is usually portrayed as being Salome doing her exotic dancing and an old man who gets carried away and owes his promises. And as a result of Herod's promises, John is brutally slaughtered. But it's interesting that these things are not in the texts. There is no one named as Salome in this text, and the person that does the dancing is actually a little girl. The dancing is more in the world of cute than it is in the world of erotic. Who knew? When it comes to the scriptures and the study of the scriptures, we need to be careful about our cultural lenses. It is true, though, that Herodias' daughter with Herod Philip was called Salome. It comes from history, not from the text. Herod Antipas, that's the Herod of this text, visited Herod Philip in Rome, seduced his wife, and persuaded her to leave her husband and marry him. But why do we take it for such a raunchy story? Is it possible that we have a prejudiced view of certain groups in society, and that comes in as we interpret this text? Anyway, to the text itself. It says something about how important the gospel writer thought that John the Baptist was. The only story in the 16 chapters of the Gospel according to Mark contain this one about the execution of John the Baptist. And my sense is that that would not be how John the Baptist viewed himself. He spoke the truth, whatever people thought about him. In Mark's account, Herod respected John and protected his life until this catastrophe. Amos also speaks the truth, and the leader of the established worship doesn't like it. Both of these are stories about what happens when people live by their truth. Amos is challenged by Amaziah. Amaziah is a priest of Bethel, an ancient place of worship. He tells Amos to clear off and not come and preach in his community again. He assumes that Amos is making his living through preaching. Amos says, "Oh no, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees." He doesn't earn his living by saying to the audience what they want to hear. He says what he believes to be God's will. So for those of you who are not ministers of religion, please be aware that when you speak of God, you could well be speaking with more authority than those of us who do earn our corn doing so. You would say that, wouldn't you? Is a message. And there is a tension sometimes between keeping the show on the road and speaking out truth that people need to hear. It's always something that strikes people as surprising when somebody is doing something and they're not doing it for payment. There's a power in that. John the Baptist says what he believes to be God's will, and that got him imprisoned. Speaking an uncomfortable truth to power is not what the powerful usually want to hear, but that doesn't make it wrong. It makes it brave and something to be undertaken with caution. Herod is a strange mixture of a man who dreaded John's tongue and yet found pleasure in listening to him. What a strange mixture, and typical of human beings that is. We are a mixture of the moral and the foolish, the clear and the confused, the honest and the sinful. Human beings haunted by sin and by goodness. Different from us. Mary contains a warning that there are times when we need to be cautious about what we say, cautious about acting on impulse. Sometimes it's what's needed to pay the compliment, to give the gift. But equally, we need to be cautious that we are thinking, whatever it is we are thinking about doing, could lead to the harm of another. Does what we are going to do come from a place of love? It really is about kindness. The people who say yes and no and who mean it. Similarly, that means we need to be cautious about making vows. Herod goes ahead with this scheme because he doesn't want to lose face. He doesn't want to admit that he's made a mistake. I am sorry are words that we need to learn how to say. And we need to use them frequently. I am sorry to God, by way of a prayer of confession as we gather to worship. I am sorry to those who are around us, that we know that we will have to live with the mistakes that we have made. So, first pause. Who does each one of us need to say sorry to? Herod was more concerned with those in the room that they would think that he was weak than he was any sense of being morally right or not. There are times when he made vows that he was very happy to break. His history is of a man who was terribly suspicious of his sons, which led him to slaughter many of them. He changed his wives. He was in many ways a weak man in over his head. One scholar says that in terms of his wives and his close family relations, it would be easier to produce a chart than to produce a narrative. We know that the intimate moral choices people make can spill over into the political power that they use. We have seen it in our recent political life. The central issue is about abuse of power. Herod has the power to execute the man, and he would rather stick with his grandiose promise than say, "Sorry, I cannot exploit my power in such a way as to take a man's life." How do we use the power that is ours? And just before anyone says it, let's be clear, we all have power. When I think of the misery that's caused, for example, because people's neighbours are noisy, there's real power that we have over one another. Here we have Herod, who uses his power to execute an innocent man. And we have John the Baptist, who uses his real power over Herod with words. That didn't save his life, though. The question for us is, who can we influence for good by the way that we use our power? Think about bullying. One person is taunted, their life is made a misery. So you get the bully. But you also get those who are round the edges, those people who keep silent or who laugh or who quietly encourage the person, people who feel themselves small, but they have real power. Who do we each have power over? And can we think of ways to use that power for good? Finally, what about those other people that were in the room when the young woman comes to dance? Why did nobody say, "Whoa, Herod, you can't kill a man because you made a foolish vow"? There are times when you wonder about the choices that the rich and the famous make. Where were their friends? Didn't anybody love them enough to say no? Can we be a good friend enough to say no to someone? So let's spend some time saying thank you to God for those people who say no to us. And let's some time to reflect upon the way that we use our power.
To pray to God for all those who are facing operations this week with all the anxiety about.
Okay.
To give thanks that Becky, Elizabeth Cole's daughter, is feeling better, and that the COVID that she has not spread to the rest of the family. To pray for Katie Frost, to pray for those living with cancer, those living with COVID.
Thank you.
Thank you. Spirit, be with us all, now, she has now.